I guess it was about 2 years ago at the JBoss conference in Boston where I first got a chance to talk to Emmanuel Bernard about what was going on in the world of Hibernate. Now I'm a big fan of Hibernate and ORM technologies. I've got a fairly popular book called Hibernate Made Easy that sold well and took advantage of the popularity of JBoss's ORM technology. So naturally it was great for me to get a chance to talk to JBoss's senior principal software engineer, the data platform architect who's responsible for making sure that all of the middleware side of things are lined up properly. And it was pretty great to get his take on what was happening in the world of persistence. Now, in 2013, the cool thing that was happening was NoSQL. And one of the things that surprised me when speaking with Emmanuel is how they envision JPA to be used as a technology for interacting with these NoSQL databases, with things like key value stores, with document stores like MongoDB, with graph databases. I don't think too many people saw JPA as being able to make that leap from the relational world to the NoSQL world. But they were hard at it, and they've actually made some pretty interesting progress. And so I was lucky enough to catch up with Mr. Bernard just a little while ago, and one of the things I wanted to know was just exactly what was going on in the world of Hibernate OGM. What was happening in the way that we were progressing with the mapping from Hibernate to NoSQL types of databases. And so fortunately, I got a chance to talk to Mr. Bernard, and he had some insights on exactly what's happened over the last couple of years in the world of Hibernate and NoSQL.
We didn't go as fast as we wanted, but that's what's kind of good because it helped us iterate a lot on what we really wanted out of Hibernate OGM and how we wanted things to be stored. And frankly, it's a pretty tough subject to address in the first place, just like an object relational mapper is no easy game. So we decided to really focus on each of the backends we wanted to target and really try to nail as much as possible how you would naturally store the data into these systems. So we focused on document stores, and we used MongoDB as the example. We focused on key value stores, and InfiniSpan and EHCache are part of that family. And we also focused on graph databases, which in many ways are very, very similar to an object graph, as in the object-oriented mode. And we used Neo4j as our kind of proof of concept. And we worked pretty hard for each of those backend document store graph database to try and see, okay, here is the data I want to store. It's represented that way in the object world. And what would be the natural way you would store that data in, say, your Neo4j graph database? And let's try and store the data just the way you would have done it, even if you hadn't used any object mapper, so to speak. So we worked a lot on that. And we also worked a lot around queries, which is yet another pretty high challenge because we initially, tried to basically support JPQL, which is this object-oriented SQL, query language, and try and see how we could map that into each of the underlying data stores. So we did that, actually a subset of JPQL. And while we were working with that and with the community interacting with them, we realized that even if we were able to map 100% of JPQL, it wouldn't really be enough to address the use case people use NoSQL for. So what we did in parallel to that effort is to say, how about you express your query in the native query language of the underlying engine? Say MongoQL for MongoDB, Cypher for Neo4j, you write the query in this language, which is extremely powerful for the actual backend you're targeting. And we execute the query for you, and we map what is retrieved from that query into mapped entity. So basically, you just do a native query, but then from then on, all of the objects and the navigation and so on is handled just like you would have done in JPA.
One of the things I was wondering, with all the work that you're doing in the space of NoSQL, does that ever give you time for reflection where you go back and look at some of the work that you've done with Hibernate ORM or even Hibernate Search and reevaluate some of your solutions or give you thoughts on how you might have re-architected something in the past?
Let's address the easy one first. So on Hibernate Search, it's not so much re-architecting it because we, in some ways, we constantly re-architect it to try and make the, you know, it's very performance-based. So we try to really improve things, and there's always interesting design that either we borrow from some of the, you know, I don't know, maybe Facebook has a new product with a new idea, a new approach, and then we borrow some of the design from that or whatnot. But what the direction we're going for Hibernate Search is to make it more open. So today we can let you index podules. So you have a podule, you decide that you want to index this stuff, and then you can query. But Hibernate Search could be a very nice companion for additional NoSQL stores that have either a rich, you know, query language or something like that. So instead of only supporting Podio, it would be nice to support any kind of format. So if you can think of Protobuf or JSON and so on. So we're opening the API and the capability of the product to try to be a nice companion to those kind of products. On Hibernate ORM, what was interesting is the effort we did around performance. First of all, because OGL is basically 90-95% the code of Hibernate ORM, we just replaced some key parts to reinstall the data in the NoSQL store instead of the, you know, relational database. So when the NoSQL store is much faster than your traditional, you know, remote database round trip to your relational database, the stack and the overhead of the Hibernate ORM engine actually shows up. So we spend a lot of time actually improving Hibernate ORM thanks to the fact that we didn't want Hibernate OGM to spend too much time compared to the, you know, latency or the speed of a given NoSQL data store. And it's very true for things like the key value stores like in FinSpan, which are meant to be extremely fast and store data in memory distributed but in memory in an efficient way.
I was wondering what adoption has been like for things like Hibernate Search, Hibernate ORM, and working with NoSQL as well. How is the community responding to these offerings?
Well, Hibernate ORM is, as far as we know, is still by far the most popular ORM engine that people use in the Java universe. Whether they are Java EE, you know, followers or even just the Java, generally speaking, we still see very consistent and good download numbers. As far as I know, Hibernate might be the top one or top two, let's say top two, most downloaded projects in the JBoss portfolio, so still very, very healthy. Hibernate Search, it's always hard to compare to a giant like Hibernate ORM because of its massive popularity, but it has been able to, you know, to capture a non-insignificant portion of the actual Hibernate ORM users. So we're very happy about that. We're still facing the problem that people are not really aware of that project and either do their stuff on their own or decide that it cannot be done. So we're still in an evangelization phase more than, frankly, I don't know the comparison with the rest of the JBoss portfolio, but it's probably fairly, very high, maybe in the top 15 or something like that. So very, very healthy downloads. We want it to be more, of course. And Hibernate OGM, it's still early, and people are still wondering, well, first of all, the NoSQL landscape is really booming, but it has been exploratory and it's still exploratory for a lot of users and companies. And on top of that, you play with the fact that an object mapper has to prove that it's useful in this NoSQL world, right? Remember back in 2002 or 2003, people were not really convinced that using an object relational mapper was the way to go, and it took the industry, you know, 5 or 6 years to really accept the fact that Hibernate or any of its competitor was actually a better way to do things than either plain JDBC or on-ground object mapper. So in the NoSQL land, it's very likely going to be the same kind of path where people have to accept and understand the benefit of an object mapper compared to a plain native access to the underlying store.
So speaking on that, if you're actually doing a bit of a sell on OGM, what would you say to people are, say, the two or three key benefits that they're going to realize by using an OGM as opposed to just native APIs?
First of all, it's very, very nice to, let's say I've got an application that uses an object relational database, and I'm adding the new parts in the application that is going to store stuff in Neo4j. I have to admit, it's very nice as far as ease of use to be able to say, okay, I'm going to use Hibernate OGM, and you create this persistence.xml file, which is a small difference that says use OGM instead of Hibernate ORM. You point to Neo4j, and then you're ready to use the entity and map your entities the way you're used to do it with JPA. And you inject your entity manager, or you get access to your entity manager just the way you're used to it, and then you're ready to persist object and get started. So the ease of use is really, really nice for somebody that has already invested in JPA. So that's, you know, one benefit, and that's kind of the obvious one where you map to an existing API. The other one is because of all that hard work we did into thinking, you know, what's the best way to map that kind of structure back and forth between the, you know, object model and the data store. It means that we give you what we think is the best recommendation for a given mapping, for a given structure. So instead of you having to struggle and probably make mistakes and having to convert stuff manually as far as structure is concerned and so on, we will actually do that for you and give you the, you know, most recommended approach. And when the project matures, we will add, you know, alternatives that you could enable just declaratively. So it's a nice way. You express your stuff and declaratively we map the things as best as we could depending on the underlying store you're using.
So what do you see as the future of persistence? How do you see in 2015 and beyond things like relational stores, NoSQL databases, key value stores, document stores, all maturing? Where do you see the industry going?
So to me, what I hope for in 2015 is kind of a maturation of the big data stacks. You know, everybody believed Hadoop was the right thing to do, and a lot of people jumped into this bandwagon. And then we realized, you know, it doesn't work quite well for like super, you know, faster or near real-time kind of operations we want to do based on our analytics. And then stuff like Apache Spark and so on have kind of spurred all of that things. I hope for a maturation at that level because there's so many different projects moving and so on that it's a bit hard for one guy to manage and follow that. The other thing I'm really excited about is the this notion of reactive X that actually came from the Microsoft side of things from Eric Myers. So there is this notion of reactive APIs that have been ported by the Netflix guys into reactive Java, and then you get a reactive something for pretty much every language. And I'm really excited because It's not really a new platform you have to use or this kind of high-level stuff. It's really just a library, not even a framework. So it's not even opinionated. It's really a library that lets you do stuff in an asynchronous way if you want and deal with that complexity. So I hope, a next generation of Java frameworks will actually embrace that, and of course in conjunction with Lambda and Java 8, generally speaking, I think we'll be able to see some very interesting new tools going into the future.
So many people in the community look to you as the preeminent thought leader in the space of data and persistence and search and so forth. I was just curious, who are the people in the industry that you look up to as thought leaders?
I don't have the name, I apologize for that, but the few people from LinkedIn that actually left to create a company around Apache Kafka, I'm really inspired by that, you know, kind of approach where you push basically logs and events into a queue, and then you process those and you wire them together and chain them together to create kind of a lively IT system that will consume and transform and adapt those events into useful business things going on. That's one of them, for example. I'm quite happy with the Elasticsearch guys, so that's the more on my field, the search space, where I, they've been very, very good at popularizing the technology of search within the stack and the IT infrastructure, generally speaking. So that has been very good for the whole search business generally.
So finally, maybe you can just summarize where Hibernate is right now, whether it's the ORM release or the OGM release, what we can look forward to in the future, and essentially, what is the future of data persistence with Hibernate tools and in the Java industry in general?
We recently released on Hibernate Search and the first stable release of Hibernate OGM very late 2014 and mid December. So know that the food is gone and the whole holiday is gone. Have a look at those products. Hibernate Search is very mature, very solid. You will be surprised by all the things you can do out of that. And yes, if you're exploring NoSQL and you're in the Java/Java EE space, definitely have a look at Hibernate OGM and see what we can do using the JPA API and push the data into NoSQL. By the way, I kind of forgot something that is also important in my view is that we will go into a polyglot world where your data will be stored differently into different stores, and depending on the use case, on how you want to access things, you will use one data store versus another. So that means a lot of duplication, that means a lot of denormalization, and so on. And one of the key goals of Hibernate OGM is to be the engine that helps you into that denormalization. You express how you want to store the data to be the best for your use case, and we actually denormalize and keep the data denormalized, synchronized with one another, without you having to do that and debug and have inconsistencies and so on. So we're a bit far from that, but that's really our goal. So it's not just, you know, BJPA and persist objects into whatever store. It's really at the higher level purpose where we want to let you transform your data going in and put them into different stores to be able to best exploit from it as transparently as possible for you.